Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
With a Mobil 1 full synthetic 5-quart jug for $29.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 9/30/18.
Iowa State football has found a 12th opponent. We will talk about that on the program. Also, Chris Liss of RotoWire.com and Major League Baseball talk. It's all coming up before 4 o'clock, plus a Dr. Pepper prize pack and a Bowling Night in America preview here on KGYM's Gym Class. No, it's not a basketball game, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome in, Gym Class, for a Wednesday here on KGYM, the September the 12th. Gorgeous day around eastern Iowa. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer here today. As we take it through the 3 o'clock hour, we've got a Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away. We will do that coming up here in just a little bit before 4 o'clock comes around. We've had some very happy winners, so we'll try to make another listener a very happy winner. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. Chris Liss of RotoWire.com stops by. That is courtesy of Imon Communications. He will give you all your fantasy football answers. I need fantasy football answers after last week. And we will talk with Chris about that. And Joe Sheehan from the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter is going to stop by as baseball gets into the final weeks of the season, including a big game tonight in the National League Central Division. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, and it is a the news just now coming down within the last hour of Iowa State replacing South Dakota State with a game December 1st against the University of the Incarnate Word.
Not to be confused with the Ohio State University.
Not
the
by any means.
Incarnate Word University. And I started off by saying, no, it's not a basketball game because most people, if they think of Incarnate Word, if you are a diehard college basketball fan, you know, I believe they beat Nebraska in basketball. So it has been a Division I basketball school for a few years. They just started football in 2009. They've been a Division II program, and they have made the jump to Division I over the last couple of seasons. They were a 1-10 team out of the Southland Conference last year. And they are off to an 0-2 start this year, playing two FBS teams, losing to both New Mexico and North Texas by lopsided margins.
62-30 to New Mexico, 58-16 to North Texas. And you being the master of all nicknames, I'm going to give you bonus points if you can tell me, Scott, the nickname of the Incarnate Word.
Well, I knew it. Cardinals. They are the Incarnate Word.
Who knows
Cardinals.
That?
I did not. I saw it on looking up information for them. So I must admit that I did not know the nickname for what would they be?
They go by UIW.
UIW. Okay,
yes.
Very good. University of Incarnate Word. Now they are a FCS Division I program. They have, as Paul Clark, our friend from Cyclone Report, pointed out, they have 63 scholarships, same as most of the other Division I's out there. This is not like Drake, where they are a Division I program in name only and a non-scholarship football program, but they are just starting off. We said, Mark, when this all happened, that this is not going to look good. Iowa State and Jamie Pollard probably did the best they could. And to be honest with you, the big loser in all this is North Alabama because Incarnate Word canceled their game against North Alabama coming up in mid-November so they could take a $300,000 check from Jamie Pollard and Iowa State to play the Cyclones in the December 1st game.
What do you think? 319-366-1600, our Hurtgen and Stocker Jeweler text line and our phone line. Do you agree with me? This is a joke.
But
Iowa State would have been better off not scheduling a 12th game.
Try to explain then not going to a bowl game, though. I mean, this is all... Again, this game will not be played, by the way, if Iowa State is in the Big 12 championship game.
If it comes down to Iowa State being 5-6 going into the big tilt,
it's going to look
against
bad.
Incarnate Word, Iowa State's going to be the national laughingstock.
No, because no one's going to know because it's championship Saturday. No one's going to even know. By the way,
1 o'clock game.
You should be happy. Yeah. It's a 1 o'clock game, Mark.
1 o'clock game. Yep.
Season tickets will be honored. By the way, I believe they'll have them for if you keep the South Dakota State. I don't know how it's going to work, but they said season tickets are going to be honored.
Is this the best that Pollard could do?
I think so.
Why?
I think so. Because Incarnate Word wanted the $300,000 payday. Like I said, I feel bad for North Alabama because they are being held. They're in the cold right now. They lost a game because of all this. So that's who I feel bad for. And Nebraska was not coming to Ames.
No, that was a pipe dream. That was never going to happen.
Yes.
But I don't know. The matchup's a joke. It really is.
It's going to how motivated is Iowa State going to be unless they are 5-6? 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to Joe Sheehan coming up here in just a little bit, but we want to get your thoughts out there. Cyclone fans, non-Cyclone fans, what do you think about Iowa State versus Incarnate Word?
1577 on the text line. I hope they have 4 wins going into the game so it doesn't matter. 1545.
Thank you,
Hawkeye fan. Yeah. 1545, the University of Northern Basket Weavers were available.
I said this was not going to look good, and it doesn't look good. But there wasn't going to be a Division I team that they were going to get a FCS team. FBS. Can we just say Division I and 1AA just for the sanctity of this discussion? They weren't going to get a Division I team. So, and it was going to be what it is. And like I said, I didn't think it was going to be Incarnate Word because I didn't think they were going to drop a game. Ended up dropping a game, and I feel bad for North Alabama.
7966 on the text line. Totally agree. This game is a joke. Doug at 4406. Iowa State is embarrassing themselves. I hope they're at 4 wins and don't go bowling now. Would serve them right. 1038, Incarnate Word sounds like a bad rapper name.
They beat Nebraska in basketball 4 years ago. Out of the Southland Conference, they are the Mighty Cardinals.
Allowing 60 points a game in the first two.
Two really bad Division I FBS teams. Let's go to Dan in Cedar Rapids. He wants to comment about Iowa State and Incarnate Word. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet.
I think everybody's being a little bit too hard on Iowa State for this, and here's why. I mean, first of all, what if that's the only team they could get? Second of all, if you guys look at their schedule is just brutal this year, the way it's set up. And so I guess my view on it is if they're like 9-2 going into this game and they need that and an additional win will somehow get them into a better bowl game where they make more money out of it. How is that a losing situation? Anyway, thanks for letting me lay it, guys.
Thanks, Doug.
Dan,
I'm sorry.
Dan, appreciate it. Here's the deal. If Iowa State, first of all, is 9-2, there might be a chance they might be playing in the Big 12 championship game on that day, and then that game will not be played. If Iowa State is also 7-4, 8-3, whatever the case may be, beating Incarnate Word is not going to make a big difference in their bowl pecking order. What's going to make a difference in the bowl pecking order for Iowa State is bringing 40,000 fans to a venue like they did to Memphis last year to the Liberty Bowl. That's going to make a whole lot more difference than Iowa State beating up on Incarnate Word. And I do agree with Dan. They weren't going to get anybody pretty to play in this game, and it was going to look bad. We said that 2 weeks ago.
There's a matter of getting a home gate, and that's important to an athletic department as well. I think that's the most positive thing. You retain a home game, and whether that game's anywhere near a sellout, I doubt it, in December – against an opponent like that, but there will be revenue gain from that home game. 0449 agrees it's a joke. 1577, are those guys suspended again for that game?
No.
Be nice to not need to dress in December. Excellent point.
No suspensions.
Did those guys ever sit out a game?
No.
Nope.
That was gone over. That was gone over today. And they also said that they did their off-field work, etc. So,
more texts along the lines. A hot button issue, 7884. They couldn't wait until after this weekend when a bunch of games get canceled because of the hurricane? That's a question.
Well, probably could have. I think Nebraska is probably doing that at this point. But is Nebraska going to line up to play somebody in the ACC on December the 1st if they're not in the Big Ten championship game?
Central Florida?
I don't think that's going to happen. Scott Frost is not playing Central Florida in his first year at Nebraska.
7295, if you're in Pollard's shoes, do you A, not schedule a game, B, find a team, C, wait until after this weekend to see who is available, or D, other? 7295, now in charge of our Emil's Hideaway poll question at KZYMradio.com.
Lovely. I will say this. I think I would have waited based on everything going on with the hurricane. I think I would have tried to, but I'm sure that Iowa State didn't go to Incarnate Word and said, oh, by the way, maybe they sent out a blanket letter to everybody in Division I AA, yeah, saying, hey, here is our payout. Do you want to get $300,000 for your athletic budget? In this day and age, in 2018, I can see that happening. And Incarnate Word, new to football, jumped on it.
It's becoming an Iowa State thing on the text line.
That's hard to believe.
What do you want them to do? Did what they had to do. All you Hawkeye fans can just shut up.
We thought Cy-Hawk Week was over. We are silly, silly people.
The more you call it a joke, the higher the chances this happens to Iowa next year. This game is a business move. Six wins to a bowl game with a payout of a couple million versus $300,000 payout.
If Iowa State's 5-6.
Mm-hmm.
Going into that game. But it depends. Hey, if Iowa State knocks off Oklahoma for the second straight year, not sure Iowa State's going to end up 5-6.
Again, it's an Iowa State thing. Why does it always have to come down to that? 5209, even with an Incarnate Word on the schedule, ISU is still end up with a stronger overall strength of schedule than Iowa on the season. How does that figure into this game getting scheduled?
You'll have to dive deeper into that. 316. We'll try to revisit this at the end. How's that?
Okay.
And more on this. We're going to go to Joel first before we get to a break, and then bring on Joe.
Morningside turned him down, I heard.
Maybe they did. Joel was Morningside contacted.
Not to my knowledge. I don't work in the athletic office anymore, though, so I don't have those insider information. So that's usually right in the middle of our NAIA playoff run, you know, played in the semifinals 8 of the last 10 years. I don't know if you do that. Morningside has the winningest last 15 years of any college in the state of Iowa.
Very nice.
Football. So the former Division II whipping boy, when I played for him, NAIA juggernaut now. So what I was going to say with this is kind of similar to that. My experience at a smaller school, you know, a few years ago, Morningside did a home-and-home with Wisconsin-Whitewater, the Division III powerhouse, drew enough attention that ESPN3 picked it up, and so it was televised on online and streaming. And I think that was $120,000 worth of revenue for the Morningside Athletic Department. You know, Incarnate Word, they need a game like this, just starting a football program.
Yep.
That $300,000, $400,000, good for them for, you know, seeing the opportunity. And I get it. Iowa State should do this. I am as big of an Iowa fan as you will ever find, but I've got no problem with this. You know, their fans paid a hefty price for season tickets. You know, they are entitled to that last game. And if they weren't able to get it in, they may have had to, you know, refund a full game ticket for that South Dakota State. And that's a hard pill to swallow as an athletic department, because they may have already cashed that revenue, you know, moving forward.
Good point.
Sports are expensive to run, as you guys all know. And any chance you can to get a game, get the game. Yes, Incarnate Word's not a name brand FCS school like a South Dakota State or a North Dakota or NDSU. But, guys, 20 years ago, NDSU, South Dakota State were playing Morningside in the North Central Conference in Division II. You have to play games like this to get to where they are, and Incarnate Word's trying to do that. They're in a good location for football, that university is. And so if they can get some money into their coffers, they can build an FCS program. Good for Iowa State for finding a team they can play. That's my opinion on it.
All right, Joel. Hey, good stuff, and go Morningside.
Incarnate Word in San Antonio, by the way.
Yes, that's right down there. Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, Joel. 319 here on the program.
I maintain, without all the financial ramifications, which are very important.
In 2018,
and Joel made a great point about season ticket holders. I wish the game had not been. I stay with 11 games.
Even if it's a 1 o'clock start.
You can't discount the financial reasons.
There you go. And the bowl situation, which is financial as well. Possibilities there. 319, Joe Sheehan around the corner. We're going to talk baseball with him when we come back here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Look alive, Coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12 school-sponsored athletics in Iowa, add getting your state certification from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood handles the required instruction and fingerprinting. Kirkwood coaching authorization and recertification classes are going on now in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. And now you can also take the classes online. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Head to your nearest John Deere dealer to find the deer that's right for you. Get $500 off the 1025R subcompact utility tractor with the purchase of two or more implements. Or get the X330 lawn tractor for $200 off. You can even get the Gator XUV 835M for $400 off. Valid from August 1st through October 26th. Some conditions apply. See johndeere.com or participating U.S. dealers for details. Find your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty today, or find them online at citytractor.com.
Are you tired of being lost in the shuffle as one of thousands of employees? Family-owned Midwest Metal Products in Cedar Rapids might feel a lot better. This small company with big opportunities has been very good to their employees for over 50 years, and they have second shift production openings right now. Watch their video tour at mwestmp.com to find out if it's the kind of place you'd rather work. Midwest Metal Products is an equal opportunity employer. Non-tobacco users only. Drug screen and physical required.
Welcome back at 3:22 on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. Never, ever, ever thought we would get so much run out of talking Incarnate Word football when we signed up for this 12 years ago, didn't we?
13 a lot of texts we couldn't get to, and I apologize for that. But
and we'll try to get to them at the end of the show.
Yeah.
We'll
no, Dallin Catholic was not available December 1st.
Valley's not available either, so... That's not going to happen out there. 3:22, lots happening in the world of Major League Baseball. And to talk about that, and one of our great baseball followers, and we encourage you to give him a follow as well on Twitter, and at @Joe_Sheehan, the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter, one of the best ones, if not the best one out there. And Joe joins us here on a Wednesday edition of the program. And Joe, lots of things going on in the world of baseball as we head into the home stretch here, down to 3 weeks. And boy, oh boy, fun times, especially in the National League Central, isn't it?
I'm just sitting here hoping you don't ask me about Incarnate Words baseball team.
Do they have it? I don't even know. I assume they have a baseball team.
I have no idea.
Mark, look that up.
A lot of vamping if that's where we go.
I'm on it. I'm on it, Joe.
Kyle, look it up. Does Incarnate Word have a baseball team? Let's start with the Brewers and the Cubs going at it one more time. Very pivotal game tonight. It was a pivotal game yesterday. Not a lot of hitting, but the Cubs got just enough, and Quintana has been very, very hot this month.
Yeah, I was a little surprised Madden pushed him during that key seventh inning yesterday and let him face Hernan Perez with the game on the line. He got Perez. Perez reached on a single, but he didn't hit the ball very well, and then the bullpen took over from there. Yeah, I think at this point, Madden, without more, knowing he's not going to get Morrow back at the back end, he's going to need to try to get more out of the starting pitchers because he's kind of faking it just about every night from the seventh to the ninth. So we'll see how that continues. That's going to be one of the big stories between these two teams. Cubs' lack of hitting with runners in scoring position is now a two-year issue for them. This year, they've been one of the worst teams in baseball with runners in scoring position. We saw that hurt them in Monday night's game when they went 0-for-5 with a sacrifice fly with runners in scoring position in a game they lost by one run. So these are things we'll look for tonight. Big swing. It's a three-game lead if the Cubs win. It's a one-game lead if they lose. So it's pretty big in terms of setting up the rest of the season.
Incarnate Word Baseball, 29-26 last year, including a victory over Notre Dame, Joe.
You're just opening up a can of
worms.
I had
Notre Dame that day. So.
as long as we're in the Cubs.
Incarnate Word has a baseball program. No, we're not going down that road.
The Cubs have to go to the Nationals tomorrow. Tell me, Joe, because some Cub fans complaining about this, how Major League Baseball could have done it any differently?
They don't really have another option. The MLB tries whenever possible to keep games off of that last day after the season. When you look at the possibility of a wild card playoff, multiple wild card playoffs, you don't want to have a makeup game on that day that not only takes the day, but prevents baseball from maybe having teams fly to wherever they need to fly to. So you really don't want to have relevant games if at all possible. So this was the only other option that worked for both teams' schedules. Now, I don't think it would have been as big an issue for the Cubs if not for what happened over the weekend. They sat around, they played two innings last Friday, sat around for another 4 hours, didn't get the game in, forced the doubleheader on Saturday. I think the Cubs were pretty hot about that sequence, which fed into the frustration for this schedule makeup. Looking at the weather, it looks like about a 40% chance of rain throughout the day, a 25% chance of rain when the game's actually scheduled to be played. The Cubs actually have a 1:20 local game, a local time start on Friday. Now, I know they talked about pushing that back, but if there's any kind of weather in D.C. tomorrow, it really does create a tough situation for the Cubs. I'm sympathetic, but I'm not sure Major League Baseball had another option.
And a Friday push that tonight, that would require a change in the city ordinance, too, I believe.
I think they can push it a few hours. I don't think they can actually push it to a night game.
Yeah.
You're right. They'd actually have to get an exemption. It used to be they could only play 18 night games a season, but I think they can play a lot more now. I think the Cubs don't really, for all the image of the Cubs playing a bunch of games, they really don't play more than a handful of midweek day games anymore.
Yeah, it's a Friday night thing more than anything else.
That's why they play 120 games at Wrigley on Fridays. With the National League Central here, Joe, the Cardinals are like that. They're like the bad guy in the slasher movies. They just won't die. They just won't go away. They did lose today, though, to the Pittsburgh Pirates, but still in good shape as far as getting into the postseason is concerned.
Yeah, they're two up on the Dodgers now in the wild card game. That loss was significant. If you go into a four-game series up three, if you get swept, the only way you can lose your position is if you get swept. Now the Cardinals could lose three out of four and end up tied with the Dodgers. This is for the whole, obviously, the ball of wax. I mean, there's 2 weeks after that, anything can happen, but this is the chance for the Cardinals to basically lock up a spot in the wild card game and continue to put pressure on the Cubs as well. But because of the way the schedule is structured now, you get these interdivision series that actually have a lot of meaning late in September. And the Dodgers have really struggled at the plate. They've struggled with the bullpen. We've seen the Cardinals, under Mike Schilt, they played really well. But even he started to take some criticism about how he runs the bullpen during that. They lost 6 out of 11 at one point. And he was starting to take a lot of criticism. So this is going to be a fascinating series. It will be the only, it will be the biggest series this weekend. It'll basically be the only series between teams fighting for playoff spots. So it should pretty much have everybody's attention over the 4 days.
Jacob DeGrom broke a century-old Major League Baseball record, as you know, Joe. 26 straight starts, allowing three runs or fewer. How can he not win the National League Cy Young? Or can you not discount the one-loss record?
No, the one-loss record doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, I'm, you know, a dyed-in-the-wool stat head, so I've been looking at one-loss records for a long time. When Felix Hernandez won the Cy Young Award a couple of years back with a 13-12 record, it felt like that was going, that was the end of this conversation. We were going to look at innings and run prevention and strikeouts and all this stuff. We weren't going to worry about wins and losses because those are affected by bullpen and run support and defense. Well, we haven't been challenged by this before. Jacob DeGrom might actually have an under 500 record. And a lot of it's going to depend, guys. You know, the BBWAA is not a monolith anymore. They've let a lot of younger writers in. The writers that are veteran writers have been informed by the statistical revolution. So a lot of it's going to come down to which 30 writers actually have ballots. If it just happens to be a subset that has a lot of traditionalists, that's going to give an edge to Max Scherzer and Aaron Nola. If it's a subset that has a lot of younger writers or a lot of stathead writers, that would give an edge to DeGrom. And let's also make the point here that you can make a statistical case for both Nola and Scherzer at this point without looking at win-loss record. But I think, you know, DeGrom's continued to pitch well. If I had to vote today, I'd probably give my vote to DeGrom. Everybody's got, you know, three or four starts left. We'll see how those go. Can I just make a point? No, I haven't had a chance to say this anyway.
Sure.
This whole thing with the 26 straight starts of – I don't think of that as a record. I guess I think of a record as, you know, wins in a career, wins in a season, home runs in a season, whatever have you. When you're starting to, well, 26 straight, did you ever grow up, when you were talking baseball when your friends as a kid, did you ever say, I want to set the record for most consecutive starts allowing three runs or less? Is that really what you played for? There's a lot of things. It's an achievement, it's an accomplishment, whatever you want to call it. But until Jacob DeGrom got to 24 straight starts with allowing three runs or less, I mean, I've been steeped in baseball for 40-something years, and I'd never heard of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe Sheehan joining us here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYN.
What's the record for two runs or fewer, Joe? Get on that.
This is what I'm saying. If you can answer that question, I'll shut up.
I have no idea. Speaking of Aaron Nola, I have the young Phillies hit a wall now. They've fallen 6.5 games behind Atlanta. It looks like the Braves, while it's not a stranglehold, it's going to be harder and harder for the Phils.
I think it's important to – it's hard to do in September when the team's not playing well and they're losing a bunch of games. But I think it's important to note that the Phillies coming into this year look like it was going to be the year before the year. They'd added Arrieta, they'd added Santana, they'd added Neshek in the bullpen. But for them to play as well as they did for 4 months was the surprise. If they end up at 82-80 or 81-81, you know, where they might end up now – that's basically what they were supposed to be this year, a 500 team. I think Kapler did a really good job to take advantage of the Nationals falling apart. And obviously you look at the Braves have done, the Braves are going to be the big winners here. But at the start of the year, nobody had the Phillies, you know, winning 84, 85 games. And the fact that they're probably going to end up around 500 shouldn't take away from what they've actually done here. They've set the groundwork for what should be a strong year next year. They you know, developed a Nick Williams. They developed a Nick Pivetta. They brought along a Sir Anthony Dominguez in the bullpen. This is going to be a better team next year.
I meant to look this up before the show, and I apologize I didn't. The record for most games behind at the end of a season. The Orioles are 57.5 out.
I'm going to just vamp for a little bit here because it's funny. I actually dug into this about 2 weeks ago.
Ah.
The record, all-time record, going back to integration. Because if you go back to the early first half of the 20th century, guys, you find that a lot of teams did this. I want to say the all-time record is like 68 or so by the 1916 Philadelphia A's. But if you just look at this integration, since the competitiveness has been better, the record is the 62 Mets at 60.5 out. The A's were 60 out. And then you got a couple other teams from the 1950s. And 54, I should say. And then since the early 1950s. The Orioles now, 57.5 out, would be the farthest back since the 62 Mets. And that's just not company you really want to keep. I mean, for a little while, it looked like they might actually challenge the 62 Mets record of 120 losses. They're not going to do that. But they're going to be as far from home as any team that, you know, we've seen since the early 1960s. And if they can somehow finish 61 games out, that would be the longest, the farthest anybody's been out since like the 1930s.
Jeez.
Wow. Not good marks for a team that was a playoff contender just a couple of seasons ago. Taking a look at the American League. First of all, I think people, maybe they're not, I don't know, but Tampa Bay, they're going to miss out on the postseason. But I tell you what, Tampa Bay has put together, for what they have, a pretty solid 2018, and I think they should be commended a little bit.
And, you know, I should back off on what I said a little while ago. The Dodgers and Cardinals do play this weekend. The A's go to Tampa Bay go to St. Petersburg for three games this weekend. And the A's just haven't lost, which has kept the Rays from making up ground. But the Rays will get at least three games to kind of close the gap on the A's this weekend. If they can sweep, it would be, you know, four or three or five going into next week, which at least, you know, makes it interesting. But the Rays have passed the Mariners in the wild card standings. Their run prevention has been amazing. Everybody had so many complaints about the opener, where you start a relief pitcher and then you go to your starting pitcher in the second inning. Ever since they did that, they've been one of the best teams in baseball. Their run prevention's been fantastic. And even their traditional starters, you look at what they got out of Blake Snell today. He's actually trying to chase down Chris Sale for the AL Cy Young Award. So a lot of good things happening in Tampa. And they're doing it, you know, without a lot of superstars. They traded away probably the most familiar face in Chris Archer, but they play defense. They get out, and they've got a very deep bullpen. So it's really been a great story. We'll see if they can, you know, make this interesting this weekend against the A's. But even if they don't, the Rays winning 85, 86 games is a pretty good outcome for them.
Please assure me that everything is going to be all right, that Michael Kopech will be fine in 2020.
Oh, I think for a little while there, we started talking about Tommy John surgery, like it was, you know, putting a Band-Aid over a boo-boo. It's a little more complicated than that. But, you know, between the surgeons who do the surgery, the guys responsible for the rehab, we do have an idea of what the path is back. And what I would say is this. Kopech having to have the surgery now probably works out best for him, because there's no pressure for the White Sox to bring him back in the next season. There's no reason to rush him back 12 or 13 months after the surgery and get him back on the mound. So it'll be 18 months before, or, you know, 16 to 17 in spring training in 2020. And then they can get him set to go in 2020. And then with an eye towards him having a full season in 2021. So I think the timing of it's probably the one positive you take from it. Guys, it's funny. I had just said that the White Sox right before that went through a run in their rotation. Giolito, Lopez, Kopech, and
Rodon.
Rodon, thank you. Where they had basically four really good starts, and I was just talking on Twitter, I'm like, you know, the White Sox probably aren't going to get there next year. Next year is the year before the year, but like all of a sudden you look at this rotation, and you look at what the talent they still have coming through, Dane Dunning and Eloy Jimenez and all these guys, plus a couple of more high draft picks, and you could really look at the 2020-21 White Sox and get excited. This takes away some of that excitement. But Kopech will be back in 20, and all the rest of the talent is still there. I think the White Sox are going to be the favorite in this division in 2021.
I hope we're all around. Let's see how it plays out. All right, Joe, appreciate it. And some good baseball, Brewers and the Cubs tonight. Rockies and Diamondbacks. We got that from ESPN coming up tonight as well. Always appreciate you stopping by, and we'll look forward to joining you again coming up.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
Joe Sheehan joining us here on the Gym Class. Hopefully nobody was honking at him right there. Joe's not driving and talking at the same time. Trust us with that. Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter. Check it out. Really, really good stuff. We're going to take a break. Come back. Chris Liss of RotoWire.com will be joining us. That is courtesy of I'm On Communications. And get your fantasy football questions ready to go for Chris at 319-366-1600. Also on the Hurtine and Stockner Children's text line at 319-366-1600. It is Gym Class. We are presented by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Back with more after this.
Labor Day means fall is just around the corner. So are Labor Day savings at the Home Depot. Up to 40% off appliances, like the LG stainless steel gas range, a special buy now at just $648, over $250 off. If you're about to get busy with fall fun, family and traditions, you could use some help in the kitchen. Labor Day savings, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, while supplies last. See store for details, valid through September 12th.
My name is Brandon. I am a manager of tire sales at Firestone Complete Auto Care. when you come here to get service, we're going to take care of your car. Because you take care of your car is going to take care of you.
Come in for the Firestone Complete Auto Care Epic Sales Event and save $100 when you spend $500 or more. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Valid September 13th through 16th. Exclusions apply. Cannot be combined with other offers. Additional fees may apply where lawful. See store for details.
It's been a long off season without football, but FanDuel has spent it getting into the best shape of their lives. That means this. FanDuel is ready for more. More ways to play. More ways to challenge your friends. And most importantly, more ways to win. FanDuel also has new options for playing daily fantasy with your friends, because the only thing better than winning cash is winning your friends cash. Right now, you can get a $20 bonus when you make your first deposit on FanDuel. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/Stephen A. Age and state restrictions apply.
It's a normal day. You're rushing out the door to get to work on time when suddenly, there it is, the dreaded service light. So what is it this time? Tire pressure? Low coolant? Time for an oil change? When it comes to service lights, head to Jiffy Lube. We've got you covered. Drive in today and make the switch to Pennzoil. Ask for Pennzoil Synthetics, getting you back on the road in a jiffy. Jiffy Lube. Leave worry behind.
Back with you at 3:39 here in the program. We've got a Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away. We'll do that here in just a little bit. And lots to get to on the program before 4 o'clock. Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away as well. But we're going to bring in Chrysalis of RotoWire.com and give him a follow on Twitter. And if you have a question, we encourage you to get a hold of us right now. So we'll pass it along to Chris, 319-366-1600. And Chris, go! It was not a good first week for your B-plus fantasy football team.
Don't leak.
But they have leak. Whoop, that you gave the B-plus to, Chris.
Yeah, well, I didn't have a good week either. So if I liked your team, it probably didn't do that well.
Let's get right to the text, Chris. They're rolling in as usual for you. 7966, need two in a non-PPR league. Hogan, Evans, Diggs, Amari Cooper, Allen Robinson.
I'm going to say Diggs and Evans.
0656 is in a half point PPR and needs a flex. Chris Thompson or Deion Lewis?
That's a tough call. I will say they're both in good spots. I'll say Deion Lewis, but it's very close.
76.99, more valuable in a PPR. Bly Powell or Latavius Murray?
Powell, PPR, for sure.
Mark's looking. They're all coming in.
92.76, half point PPR again. Royce Freeman or Carlos Hyde?
Give me. Ooh, that's close to. I'll take Royce Freeman against the Raiders.
82.58 needs to two of these. Not sure whether it's a PPR or not. Alex Smith, Tyrod Taylor, or Matt Ryan?
I hate to say it, but I think I'm sitting Ryan this week out of those three.
Also, expectations for Alfred Morris this week?
I think he does a lot better against the Lions. He just had a really tough matchup. He also fumbled. I think he'll get 15 carries, 70 yards, and touchdown.
91.36, also a half-point PPR league. Should I trade DeSean Jackson? And if so, what kind of players should I target or hold on to them?
I don't think you'll get much because he's concussed and has a shoulder injury right now. I know he had a monster game. I don't think you'd get much. So, I mean, I just think hold on to him. You're not going to get anything.
Also, George Kittle or Jack Doyle this week?
Kittle. I like Doyle, too, a little bit, but Kittle – looks like he might be a monster this year.
Who jumped out at you that you had no idea would do what they did in week one, fantasy-wise?
Philip Lindsay, I barely knew who he was. And he had a big game with a touchdown and 70-something yards. And seems like the timeshare with Royce Freeman. I didn't think Kittle would do that well against the Vikings. Jared Cook, Jared Cook had 180 yards receiving. He actually has two of the top tight end receiving yard games of all time. Two of the top 10, Jared Cook. I'm not sure if he'll do it again. guys like that, that sort of out of nowhere. Got Quincy Enunwa. I thought Robbie Anderson was going to get more targets. Quincy Enunwa got 8 targets. Seemed to go to him a lot. A few guys that I think are worth a look.
How about on the flip side, guys that did not perform well in week one, but you should not panic or drop yet?
Well, I mean, you wouldn't consider dropping Kareem Hunt, but it was a little disappointing. They kind of stole his touchdowns at the goal line. They gave him away. They didn't throw to him, although they were leading most of the game. So, you know, there were some disappointing guys. Obviously, Leonard Fournette got hurt, and that was tough. And he's kind of iffy for this week. So, you know, basically anyone in the first 5 or 6 rounds, hang tight. Don't panic. You start getting out of 6 or 7 rounds, and a guy like I had DJ Moore that I drafted in a couple leagues, and he got like 12 snaps and no targets, so I dropped him. You know, I mean, you can't wait around. If you like the guy before the season, he doesn't pan out, and he's not a top 7 or 8 round guy, move on. There's probably someone on the waiver wire who's better.
$65.99 is a half point PPR standard league. Needs 2 flex spots among Hunt, Lewis, Ajayi, and Connor.
Hunt and Connor, if Bell doesn't play. If Bell does play, because you never know, then I'll take Ajayi.
Non-PPR, Kittle or Burton this week?
Kittle. I mean, Burton's got to prove it on the field first.
PPR, Powell or Freeman? I think we already answered that. I'm sorry.
Sure.
0909, probably not the only one to wonder this. Should I drop Greg Olson?
That's a good question. I asked it myself of Stefanie Bell, ESPN's injury expert. She thinks he could be back in a month or so, you know, whatever, several weeks. So it really just depends on the bench size you have, the space, the circumstances. If you have a decent-sized bench, I have him in a league that has a 10-man bench, I will hold on to him for a little bit.
Same question. How about for Doug Baldwin? I know people are wondering about that.
Very similar situation, 2-3 weeks, also maybe 4 or 5 weeks. But I would try to hold Doug Baldwin if you could. I mean, when the bye weeks come, you have other injuries, you have a problem, but I try to hold on to him for now.
97-61, who are you less concerned about after week one and why, LeSean McCoy or Kareem Hunt?
Less concerned about Hunt. That offense is good, and he's going to be heavily involved. McCoy has a legal problem hanging over him that, you know, doesn't seem to be – an issue this moment, but you never know. Something might come up. And then secondly, that Bills offense is abysmal, and the Chiefs offense is pretty good.
Yeah, Chiefs offense is real good. Although Mahomes, with that big gun of his, throwing it deep more than to Kelsey, so he's going to have to get downfield. So
I think teams will adjust. I think what's going to happen is, you know, they're going to have to respect Tyreek Hill and the deep ball, and the safeties are going to move back, and then the Chiefs will counter-adjust and start using Kelsey and Kareem Hunt over the middle, and so it'll benefit everybody.
Derek's wondering, do I pick up Yeldon or Corey Coleman at all for extra insurance? He says he's good with his starting lineup. This would be only insurance.
I'd go Yeldon. I mean, Coleman has some theoretical upside, but it's kind of a long shot. Yeldon, you know, Fournette aggravates the hamstring, could be a starter.
97-61, how should I expect to use Martavis Bryant?
Sparingly, if at all. I actually like the upside. I think he could go crazy, but we don't really even know like how much of the playbook he knows. He's criticized for not really knowing it. And, you know, they signed him. He could be suspended any minute. They didn't say he's not suspended. They said he hasn't been suspended yet. So I love that they're bringing him back. It's hilarious. But, you know, just put him on your bench and hope he shows a spark and you can maybe use him.
84-82 and is in a half-point PPR. Garoppolo or Ryan? I'm sorry. Garoppolo or Stafford?
Garoppolo. They're facing each other. I think Stafford should do better. Apparently, Stafford was tipping his pitches. They knew the play calls. They're able to figure out the signaling somehow. And so the Jets knew it was coming. That's why he threw all those picks. So Stafford's a good quarterback, but got to go Garoppolo for now, especially at home.
31-48. Cousins or Luck?
I would go I guess I'll go Cousins in this matchup.
22-66 is in a standard league. Tyrod Taylor or Deshaun Watson?
Ooh, it's actually a lot closer than it seems. I'll go Watson, but it's much closer than you would have thought by their draft position.
41-13, should I look for someone besides starting Deshaun Watson?
You could. I mean, Watson has ridiculous upside. If Will Fuller comes back, that'll really help them. Their line is bad, though, and you know, this may be an ugly low-scoring game this week. I'd probably roll with Watson one more week before I start getting serious about replacements.
Well, Buffalo's rolling out Josh Allen now this week. There's a possibility.
He's not ready.
Desperate times. Desperate measures. I mean, I don't think they – yeah, exactly. They didn't want to use Allen because the Peterman was so brutal. It's like you could put out anybody for for a few games to let your first-round pick develop, but it was so brutal that it was unfair to the game, the fans. So they have to like push this guy in before he's ready.
But Ryan Fitzpatrick threw for 500 yards.
Yeah. Well, no, with Ryan Fitzpatrick, that's the thing. If they had Ryan Fitzpatrick instead of Peterman, they could have waited 8 games to bring in Allen. But fortunately, I think Peterman is AAA. You know what I mean? He shouldn't be there.
Are you gaga over Sam Darnold?
No, I'm not. First of all, I hate the Jets. So that's I watched that game. I watched that game. And everyone's, Brian Baldinger had some good Twitter videos. I was watching how he's praising. He could just throw. Looked like he was throwing behind Anunua a lot. He looked like he's a little herky-jerky, kind of rushing everything. He moves decently. The arm looked good. He can throw on the move either direction. Yeah, all the physical talent seems to be there. It just, he didn't seem that relaxed and poised to me. He seemed a little herky-jerky. And that's understandable. He threw a pick six on his first pass. And he's on the road on a national game, his first start as a rookie. So, can't hold that against them, but I mean, it's easy to bet against these guys because most of them don't pan out. I mean, even the high round draft picks, second overall picks, usually at best they end up as good players, not superstars. But I wasn't blown away, but it certainly was a good start.
All right, let's bring in Steve in Cedar Rapids. He's got a wide receiver question for you, Chris. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I'd just like to know, I got Devontae Adams and I have Brandon Cooks, and Adams got a shoulder injury now. Should I be looking at putting in Cooks?
It's close. I would probably go with Adams if he's healthy, and it looks like he's going to play. I mean, just double-check, obviously, as you get closer to Friday and Sunday, obviously. Cooks also is – he may end up facing Patrick Peterson a little bit this week, so – that's another reason to use Adams, although Adams might be facing Xavier Rhodes. So they both have tough matchups. But as long as Aaron Rodgers is playing, I would go Adams.
All right.
Thanks.
You bet.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, all right. Steve.
More text coming in.
Aaron Rodgers.
Go ahead.
Aaron Rodgers locked the post.
1287, Jared Goff or Andrew Luck?
I would go probably Goff at home, but it's close.
1075, Fitzpatrick or Wilson?
Wilson.
Really? Meeting Khalil Mack? Okay.
Mr. Bear.
6812, Goff or Prescott?
Goff. The Cowboys are the most cowardly team of all time. The Cowboys, what an embarrassment to the league.
Thank you, Shea and Irving. Okay. Non-PPR, Phillip Rivers or Deshaun Watson?
Man, I got to go Watson. I think that Buffalo-San Diego game might be ugly. Just an ugly slugfest. So I'll go Watson.
Let's get a couple more.
0656, a half point PPR. Would you start Chris Thompson or Deion Lewis over Lamar Miller?
I really don't like Lamar Miller. Yeah, I'd probably start Lewis over him, and I might start Thompson over him. But Miller will get a lot of work. I'll say Lewis.
I'm going to try to do you better this week, Chris, with the fantasy football, but I need some help.
Fournette or something? Is that the problem?
No, I just Kareem Hunt didn't do anything. Travis Kelce did nothing. Baldwin got hurt. Ryan was bad. It was a bad week, man.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about that except for Baldwin, obviously.
Yeah, all right. All questions. You've got all the answers and all the information at rotowire.com for people to take advantage of, correct?
That is correct. It's rotowire.com/trial. It's a free 10-day trial. That really means free. We don't charge you. We don't take credit card information. Rotowire.com/trial. We have all the who's healthy, who to start. All the rankings questions are done by position on the site. Again, rotowire.com/trial.
All right. Hey, Chris, best of luck this weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Scott. You too.
All right. Chris Liss of rotowire.com. His parents brought to you by I'm On Communications. And always look forward to talking with Chris on Wednesdays. We'll take a break, come back. Bowling Night in America preview. And we have a Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away right now. Delicious regular or diet Dr. Pepper, a 24-pack. It might be two 12-packs, but it's 24 of them. We can do the math. Going to go out to caller number 6 at 319-366-1600. That includes a KGYM pint glass to enjoy your Dr. Pepper with, and then also some Dr. Pepper prizes as well. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Let you know who our winner is and talk bowling when we come back.
You to sleep. Your wife and kids, they'll have their daddy back.
Monday night, November 26th at U.S. Cellular Center. It's the WWE Live Holiday Tour. You'll see AJ Styles as he defends the WWE Championship against Samoa Joe.
The next time Samoa Joe mentions my family's name, I'm going to rip his heart out.
Then
I'm taking flight! Woo!
Jeff Hardy goes one-on-one with the Viper, Randy Orton.
I will erase every superstar that you people respect.
And you'll see SmackDown Women's Champion, Charlotte Flair. Tag Team Champions, The New Day.
You done flapped the wrong jack, sucker!
Becky Lynch.
Straight fire is coming for you.
And more. Monday night, November 26th at U.S. Cellular Center. Tickets start at just $15. Tickets available this Friday morning at 10 at the box office and Ticketmaster.
Enjoy the show! Woo!
Jim Scatunash. Get ready for Kennedy football action tomorrow afternoon at 3 during the KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard.
Hi, I'm Trent with Bob Mickey Collision in Cedar Rapids, here to remind you that if you're in an accident, it's always your choice where to get your car repaired. Stop in for a free estimate. It'll take about 15 minutes, and we'll answer any questions that you have. We take pride in taking care of our customers, and we stand behind our work with a lifetime guarantee. We work with all insurance companies, but we work for you. It's your car. It's your choice. Choose Bob Mickey Collision. Stop in for a free estimate.
Play the greens and save some green now at St. Andrews Golf Club. Monday through Friday before noon and after 5, play 18 holes with cart for just $24.61. You'll also get that same deal on weekends after 4. St. Andrews has brand new carts that they hope you'll enjoy. And new this year, they've got a Friday night couples special. After 4 o'clock on Fridays, couples are welcome to golf with cart for that same $24.61 price. Only at St. Andrews Golf Club, 1866 Blair's Ferry Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids.
Kirk Ferentz is the winningest coach in Hawkeye football history. In honor of his 144th Iowa win, the Gazette has released a special commemorative poster featuring this UI sports milestone. This unique piece of Hawkeye sports history features an iconic image of Coach Ferentz, along with his top 10 Hawkeye wins as ranked by the Gazette sports writer Mark Morehouse. Make this limited run poster a piece of your Hawkeye memorabilia for just $14.95. Kirk Ferentz, 144 wins. Buy yours now at thegazette.com/Ferentz-poster.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Mason City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. Congratulations going out to Brandon and Ely for listening and calling in and winning the Dr. Pepper prize pack today. We got the poll question real quick at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway.
Will the Cubs hang on to first place in the National League Central? Simple yes or no question. Right now, the Cubs, 2-game lead, I believe 3 up in the loss column, but a big game tonight against Milwaukee.
And the Brewers. Baseball tonight, Twins and the Yankees. Twins beat the Yankees last night. That's on 107.5 FM at 7. And on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM, it'll be the Diamondbacks and the Rockies in a big one in the National League West. There's also a big one at May City Bowl tonight on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The home of Bowling Night in America, Week 2. Mark.
Of 32. Yes, indeed. Rusty Nails back in action on, I think, in lanes 29 and 30.
We're way on the end.
Is that right?
Way almost at the
end.
Our
friends from Hup Electric, the opponent. We started out 2-2. A 1-1 game and the series last week. So try to do better as we initiate newcomers Jason Cole and Troy Beeler on the lanes tonight.
So if we have to do a, you know, tailback ISO play, we're in good shape tonight.
Bring your doughboys because first week's a little expensive.
We'll have a complete report coming up tomorrow. We'll be at Kennedy tomorrow for the tailgate tour as we get ready for Prairie and Kennedy tomorrow night. Should be a heck of a football game out at Kingston Stadium. Also, Davenport Assumption in Solon tomorrow night in high school football as Zach and Gary will be on the road at Brady Street Stadium. So stay tuned. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is next. We'll talk to you tomorrow at Kennedy.